My question this morning for you on the Let the Bible Speak program is this: does it pay to serve God and Jesus? Should we obey God and Jesus? Do we get anything out of that? Is there any reward for that? You know, today in the world, a lot of people are not convinced that there is any benefit or blessing to obey God and Jesus. They see no use for that. In fact, not only is there no blessing and benefit, they think, but you're going to get persecution and hardship and all kinds of problems. Well, the people who believe all of that certainly don't know Psalm 112. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles this morning to Psalm 112, they don't know this passage. They don't know passages in the New Testament that speak of the blessings and benefits of fearing the Lord. And so let's talk about that this morning. I'm glad that you're here on the program. We need to remind ourselves, friends, that there are benefits and blessings to fearing the Lord and serving the Lord and obeying the Lord. That's why we do it. There is a reward for that, and we need to set that in front of the minds of everyone, because that has gotten lost today. People today say, well, you don't have to be right, and you certainly don't have to be right with God, and it doesn't pay to serve Jesus. All you get is a bunch of trouble. Well, people don't realize what the Bible truth is. Jesus said that his followers would be persecuted. That's true. He said that in the Sermon on the Mount, that you would be persecuted for righteousness' sake, but great is your reward in heaven. There will be troubles and trials. There will be hardships along the way, but there are also blessings and benefits that outweigh those hardships and troubles and trials. And we need to remember that. If we would set before the people the blessings and benefits of serving the Lord, maybe more of them would obey Jesus Christ and become a Christian. Maybe more of them would stay faithful as a Christian and not fall away. So let's look at the blessings of fearing the Lord in Psalm 112. What a great psalm. And it opens up with, "Praise ye Jehovah. Blessed is the man that fears Jehovah," or the Lord. That's the theme of this psalm, the blessings of him that fears the Lord. And we're going to see what those blessings are. And it's not just spiritual blessings. There are also physical blessings. That's why, one reason why, I want to become a Christian and be baptized into Christ and follow him faithfully each and every day, because I will be blessed. And I have experienced that in my life. And maybe you have experienced that in your life. Looking back over your life as a Christian, you can say, I've been blessed in many ways, to have forgiveness of sins, to have prayers answered, to have providence where God has taking care of me. I can tell in certain situations that he has taken care of me, healed me, helped me. Yes, we've got to remember the blessings and benefits of fearing the Lord. So let's look at it. The psalmist writes in Psalm 112, verse 1, "Praise ye Jehovah. Blessed is the man that fears Jehovah, that delights greatly in his commandments." To fear the Lord is found all throughout Scripture. To reverence and respect the Lord, to recognize how great he is our creator, he is our maker, our redeemer, our friend, and we need to reverence and respect him. And there is going to be great blessing and benefit by doing that. We live in a world where respect for authority is not being taught. It's not being taught in the home. It's not being taught in school. It's not being taught in society. And so young people are growing up, they're certainly not going to respect the authority of Almighty God. And we need to learn to respect those in authority, and principally, God Himself. And when we do that, when we fear the Lord, in other places, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's the starting point to make us wise. I'm going to reverence and respect God and His Word. And that's the beginning point for a very wise and blessed life. But the psalmist says, "Blessed is the man that fears Jehovah, that greatly delights in His commandments." We're talking about the person who doesn't just simply tolerate God's Word. He doesn't simply do it in a bare minimum fashion. The text says he delights greatly in His commandments. We appreciate, we delight in God's Word and how it will help us. 1 John 5:4, His commandments are not burdensome. They're good for us, both in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, and in Romans 12:1-2, the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. God's Word is good for us. And Moses said that in Deuteronomy 6 to the Israelites. God has given you His Word for your good. We need to delight in the commandments, not just simply tolerate them or do them only because we have to, but because we appreciate the great value of them, both the positive ones and the negative ones. Do this and don't do this. It's all for our good. And we need to remember that. But to delight in God's commandments is the person who is being blessed. We started all the way back in Psalm 1. The man who delights in the law of Jehovah and on His law does he meditate day and night. To delight in God's Word. And then, starting in verse 2, there are going to be several blessings and benefits of him that fears the Lord. His seed, his posterity, his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. What a great thing. We raise children to become Christians, and they raise children to become Christians, and it just continues to go on and on like that. I have been a part of a family like that. Grandparents who were Christians, and their children were Christians, my parents, and they raised us to be Christians, and we raised our children to be Christians, and my wife and I have now two small grandsons, and my daughter and her husband are raising them to know God and learn God and, Lord willing, one day become a Christian. And they're mighty. They are individuals, not with political might and power, not with military might. They're strong. And we're going to see how in just a moment, spiritually strong. But they are individuals who are mighty in the sense of they're able to take care of themselves. They get a good education. They get a good job. They take care of themselves. They're healthy. They are prosperous in their earthly life because they're following biblical principles. They're mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. And that's what we're talking about, the blessings of him who fears the Lord. But we walk in an upright manner. Upright, according to the truth of God's Word, and what is right in God's Word. We've got to have the Bible in our life. The New Testament is the law of Christ that we are under today. And that law makes us right with God. The gospel of God's righteousness, in that gospel is God's righteousness, how to be right, Romans 1:16-17. And we walk according to that, and we are upright, not based upon what society says, not based upon what man says, but by God, and we will be blessed when we do that. It may not be popular. It may not be accepted in the world today. It may be made fun of, but we're going to walk according to the uprightness of God's word. Another blessing is mentioned in verse 3. Wealth and riches are in his house. I believe this has to do not just with spiritual blessings, but also physical blessings. When we walk according to God's principles, we work hard, we save. We're going to talk about giving in just a minute, but we're going to have wealth and riches. We're going to have physical things that are nice. And somebody says, well, I'm not a billionaire and I don't live in a mansion. Wealth and riches are relative. I've been to other parts of the world that are very poor. What I have in my home and what you have in your home is wealth and riches compared to what others have in other parts of the world. And we have physical blessings, especially in this nation. And even those in other countries. I know of Christians and my own brethren who have more than some around them because they're living by biblical principles. Again, working hard, saving, not going into debt, taking care of your property, taking care of things. You end up being blessed with material blessings. Of course, Ephesians 1, 3 and following, we have all spiritual blessings in Christ. We certainly are blessed also with spiritual wealth and spiritual riches. The first three chapters of the book of Ephesians is about how that we are blessed with riches in Christ in all the heavenly places. So again, things like answered prayer and forgiveness of sins and being in a body or a church with other brethren to help us. So both physical and spiritual wealth and riches. And what a great thing that is. And his righteousness endures forever. Righteousness, right principles last. And we pass them on to our children and our grandchildren. But even in our own personal lives, righteous principles are what in God's eyes endures. It's what goes throughout all of our life. It's what God is looking for all throughout our life. Verse 4, unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. Here's a third blessing and benefit of him who fears the Lord. We're going to have light in the darkness. We're going to be able to walk and be guided by God's word. Psalm 119, 105, the word of God is a light and a lamp unto our way. And it gives us guidance. We live in a world of spiritual darkness, and we need guidance, truth, and light to guide us. And that's found in God's book, God's Bible. And when we walk according to that, we have that benefit of light. He is gracious and merciful and righteous. We're going to see in just a moment that the person who fears the Lord, how he deals with his fellow man around him. He cares about his fellow man, and that's going to bring some blessing as well. But this person is gracious and merciful and righteous. You've seen this righteous. You've seen this word upright, righteousness. Friends, we can be right. We can be right with God. And we're in a society that says, live any way you want. Don't worry about being right. We need and we can be right with God according to the gospel of God's righteousness. Therein is revealed the righteousness of God. Romans 1:16 and 17. We've got to be reading and obeying that gospel, and we can be right with God. And so, the blessings. Verse 5, well is it with the man that deals graciously and lends. He shall maintain his cause in judgment. Now we've got the blessings of sharing with others, like the Good Samaritan. We're not going to be like the priest and the Levite that walks by on the other side. We're going to stop and be caring. Galatians 6:10, do good unto all men, especially those of the household of the faith. Galatians 2:10, 6:10 and 2:10, remember the poor, Paul said. And this is the person who's going to give and be gracious and lend. Somebody says, well, how is that a blessing? When we give, we feel better. When we share, we feel better. When we can help somebody in need, psychologically, emotionally, it's good for us that we've been able to help someone and bring them up out of a pit and a problem. So let us be someone who is gracious and caring and giving. Jesus talked about the rich farmer in Luke 12:16 and following, who just stored up for himself and was not rich toward God and lending to others. And at the beginning of that parable of the rich farmer, Jesus said, beware of covetousness. So we get all of these physical things and then we just greedily hoard them up for ourselves. But the one who fears the Lord, the upright man, the righteous man, lends and shares and gives. And in that, there are blessings. First of all, like I said, we feel good when we help others. And when they're helped, I've seen this to be the case, especially when I help my needy brethren. I see them down the road having been helped. They are now able to get back on their feet and serve the Lord and do the Lord's work, and they help others. And so it just grows. And they're able to preach the gospel to others. They're able to bring souls to Christ. And so benevolence, we need to be benevolent and caring and giving. He shall maintain his cause in judgment. Not only judgment in this life, where we fare better going before the judges when we are living right, but certainly in the judgment day, we are going to maintain our cause because we have been upright and caring and sharing. Verse 6, let's look at another blessing of the one who fears the Lord. He shall never be moved. He shall never be moved. The righteous shall be had in everlasting remembrance. This person is going to be stable and fixed and unmovable. I think about Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I think about Paul's statement in Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. Rooted and grounded and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. This is a person who is spiritually stable. We live in an unstable world. We live in a world where things are topsy-turvy, ethically and morally. People don't know up from down, right from wrong, good from evil, north from south, spiritually speaking. They don't know. But the person who fears the Lord is stable in all of their ways, mentally stable and fixed and grounded. And like Paul writes in Ephesians 4, those that are tossed about by every wind of doctrine, but because we know the knowledge of Christ and the truth of Christ, we're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the craftiness of error. We're not taken in by all kinds of things. We are spiritually unmoved. That's a great statement. He shall never be moved. Trials and tribulations won't move us. Errors won't move us. Setbacks won't move us. Physical problems and diseases will not move us. Political changes will not move us. Societal changes will not move us. But constant and consistent all throughout our life. And then the righteous shall be had in everlasting remembrance. One of the great blessings is when we die, we are remembered for the righteous service, our fear of the Lord. And I have done numerous funerals as a gospel preacher, and what a joy it is to speak of the ones who have passed from this life and bring up all of the remembrances in their life and the good that they have done. And you can look at Hebrews chapter 11 and other passages, Faith's Hall of Fame, and read about men and women who served the Lord. And you can be one of those. Your righteousness will be remembered. Verse 7, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in Jehovah or the Lord. Similar to what was said in verse 6 about not being moved, this is someone who's not going to be afraid of evil tidings. He's going to be fixed. Either personal harm or just societal wrongdoing, he's still going to be trusting in the Lord. And notice that what keeps us unmoved and fixed is trusting in the Lord, trusting in His Word. What a great thing. Verse 8, his heart is established. He shall not be afraid. This is the third time we have a statement about being fixed and unmoved. This is very, very important. And twice the heart is mentioned. Do you have a heart that is fixed and unmoved based upon the Word of God? He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his adversaries. My version has his desire in italics. To see something, judgment, to see something happen from God on the adversaries. And in the Psalms, it's typically something like God judging the adversaries. And God will do that. We're not going to take personal retaliation and do that kind of thing. And then here's another blessing. We've had three verses that speak of being unmoved. And then verse 9, he, the person who fears the Lord, the upright one, the righteous one, he has dispersed, he has given to the needy, his righteousness endures forever. This is the second time that that was stated. His horn shall be exalted with honor. He has dispersed, he has given to the needy. This is the passage that is quoted by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 9 with regard to the New Testament Christians giving on the first day of the week toward the needy saints. And it describes the Christian who is dispersing and giving out. And we need to be like that. We need to be giving and caring and sharing. In that context, in 2 Corinthians 9, it was the local church giving to needy saints. There's other passages like Galatians 6:10 for individuals, Luke 10, Matthew 25, other passages where as individuals we are even generous and benevolent toward those who aren't saints. Anyone in the world we can help. But give to the needy and be mindful of that when we can and as we have that opportunity. Again, what does it do? It gives us a blessing knowing that we have helped someone. And then they learn from us that when they get back on their feet, they can turn around and help others and so forth. What a great benefit that is. And then verse 10, there's a contrast. All of this has been very positive. All of the positive blessings of the one who fears the Lord. And then there's a contrast right at the end. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. The wicked see the righteous person and how successful they are. They're grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. That doesn't mean that wicked people never are prosperous. There are a lot of wicked people that are prosperous, but they're not going to have the blessings like the one who fears the Lord. And at the very end, they're going to perish. We don't have time this morning to talk about all of the problems that lie ahead for the wicked. But Jesus talks about in Matthew 25:46, the unrighteous shall go into eternal punishment. The wicked, those who do not obey the Lord, who do not obey the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 1:8-9, they shall suffer punishment, and they shall not be able to be in the presence of the Lord, and vengeance and punishment from the Lord. We just do not want to live that wicked life. Friends, there are blessings and benefits of being a Christian. And the principles that are laid out here in Psalm 112 are the same principles for us today. Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 4 with regard to godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. For bodily exercise is profitable for a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of the life which now is and that which is to come. There are blessings and benefits now and in the life to come, which is heaven, and it's because of godliness. The same principle is in the New Testament. Jesus spoke of the same basic principle in Mark chapter 10, when the rich young ruler walked away. He did not want to give up what he had and come follow Jesus. And Peter says to him, Lord, we have left all to follow you. What are we going to get? And Jesus deals with that very thing. Mark 10:28, Peter began to say, we have left all and have followed thee. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and sisters and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Yes, there'll be persecution, but look at all of those benefits and blessings that you're going to get. You're going to get a spiritual family. You're going to get answered prayer. You're going to get forgiveness of sins. You're going to get so much more. The benefits and the blessings of him who fears the Lord. Friend, will you do that? Respect and reverence God to the point where, having heard the gospel, you will believe it. Confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of your sins. As an erring Christian, if you need to come back and pray for that, Acts chapter 8, 1 John 1:7-10, pray and confess and repent, you can be forgiven and receive those blessings and benefits once again. I would encourage you to have the blessing of the Christian life. And if I can help you, let's study together. Please contact us. Thank you for being with us, and have a good day.